We'll pray now. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you that we have you tonight. Hallelujah. That we're not alone in this world and that we're not, Father, just left to our own devices and left to our own abilities and efforts. Father, that you are with us and you're in us and you're for us and you're before us. You're making rough places smooth and crooked places straight, and you are behind us with goodness and mercy that surely follow us all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. And your favor surrounds us even as a shield. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful tonight that we have you and that we're in Christ. Glory to God. And Father, as we turn our attention to your word, to this subject of change, we look to you, Father, to reveal the truth to us. The truth-giving Spirit himself is within us. And we open ourselves to the truth tonight. We open ourselves, Father, to you and what you'd have to say to us. And ask you to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Give us light. Give us revelation. Help us to see what we haven't seen before. Hallelujah. Help us to hear what we haven't heard before. Each of us, Father, where we are, what's going on with us. We pray, Father, that there would be light for us here tonight. Just ask him right there where you are. Ask him to give you light. Bring us light, Father. Bring us truth and revelation. Help us to see. We're not dependent on me or what I'm going to say. We're not dependent, Father, on a man. The Holy Spirit, the teacher himself, lives within each of us. The guide, the counselor is within us, and we open ourselves to the help that you offer, Holy Spirit. That's what we're open for, and that's what we are expecting to receive here tonight. Hallelujah. And we thank you in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, earlier this month, at the beginning of the month, I started talking about catalysts to change. And started the first week talking about the turn and how if you're going somewhere that you don't want to be, you don't want to go, if there's something in your life that you want different, it starts with you making a turn in your life. And we talked about that and how the Bible word for turn is repent. And there is going to not be a change without turning. There's not going to be a change without repenting. And there comes that time of a turn and how we have to just face up to the fact that we need to start the turn somewhere. And then the next week we talked about how change really comes from the inside out. Lasting change, you know, if you're gonna, you can make a minor adjustment or you can make a quick adjustment that, you know, you can make an adjustment, it seems, that is on the outside, but if you want lasting change in your life, it's going to have to happen on the inside. You need to change on the inside. And that's a harder change to make, but it's a more lasting change to make. That's what you're looking for. You know, we don't like what's out there, and so we think we got to do this and we got to do that, but it starts in here. This is what needs to change. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's what's going on the inside. It's out of your heart flow, the issues or the course of your life. It's what's going on the inside. We've been talking about on Sunday mornings, renovating our hearts. So all this goes together. It's about what's going on inside that will impact and affect the outside. So that was what we talked about that second week. And then last week was we talked about as a catalyst to change that you need a team. That you can't just change by yourself, that you need a team of people. And we talked about some of the kinds of people that you need. And man, I could just start right there and probably spend a lot of time just talking about this. What kinds of people you need on your team. But you need other people. You don't change on your own. And for whatever reason, you know, we see ourselves as individuals, but God doesn't see us just as an individual. God sees us as part of a body. We are the body of Christ. We are in Christ. We are not just an entity unto ourselves. And we don't function in the earth on our own. He's put us in families. He's put us in, some of us, he's put in marriages. He's put us in relationships with other people. And we function in those. And in the scripture, you see it repeatedly. God puts people together to use them for his purposes and really his plan for your life. At the very beginning, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And we see from that came marriage. But it's not just marriage. Once you got a man and woman together, they started making a family. And then before long, there were families. It's not good for them there just to be one. He wants many, and he wants us together, and he wants us working together. We see it in the book of Acts, the very beginning of the church. He put them together. They were together in the upper room. And then when they came out, they made a whole lot more. And when I talked about this last week, when he sent them out, he didn't just send them individually. He didn't just say, Mala, I've called thee and go by thyself. He didn't. He put them in pairs, and he sent them out in pairs. And so the idea that you're just on your own, you can change on your own, you can do life, so to speak, on your own, that's just you and your silly notion and really your selfish attitude. But you put you with somebody else and you're going to have to change, because we bump up against each other, and that's good for us. And have you ever noticed how God brings people in your life that seem to rub you the wrong way? And sometimes they're actually there to rub something off of you that needed to be rubbed off. That's why they seem to be rubbing you the wrong way. And you're like trying to get rid of them. And really, you should just go ahead and let them rub a little bit on you. Because there's some stuff needs rubbing off and rubbing out in your life. So that's what we talked about last week. And then tonight we're going to continue with talking about catalysts to change. And we're talking about the process. The process of change. I'm going to tell you, I've been wrestling with this tonight. I've been wrestling because there's just so many things I want to say. So I'm really just believing God that we'll get what we need said tonight. And you'll get what God has for you. Amen? Now, I think here's a question that we need to ask. And it's this. What change are you wanting in your life? What change is it you're wanting? And for that matter, I've also asked you in this to consider not just what you want, but what God is wanting or what he's dealing with you about. What change is it? And just think about that for a minute, because I've come to realize this, that the change that we want is often to address a problem we have. Do any of you have a change you want to make that will address some kind of problem in your life? Okay, now that right there is what I want to talk about for a minute. Because we think we have problems. How many of you have problems? We think we have problems. I certainly think other people have problems. And so we think of change in the sense that there's a problem and we need to find a solution. There's an issue and, you know, there's this problem. But in reality, it's not so much that we have problems. And when we focus all of our change on a problem, see, like in marriage, you think we got a problem in our marriage. And so we need to focus on fixing this problem. See, okay, a bunch of us are on Team Lean. We think we have a problem. We have too many blowed up fat cells. Or whatever it is, you know, we have too, that scale, It keeps, the numbers are too high on the scale or whatever it is, or the pants are too tight, whatever. We think we have a problem. And in reality, even though we do have problems, the problem is not where we should focus our energy, because really it's not so much the problem. It's that we have a pattern. And it's the pattern that needs to change. And if we change the pattern, the problem will be taken care of. See, we think the problem is I look down at the scale and that's the problem, but that's not the problem. The problem is there's an issue is the pattern that made that number. You see that? So it's really like the problem is just the fruit of your pattern. And when you really start thinking about that, it's when you can really, I think when you start thinking about it, not just in terms of a problem, but as a pattern, that's where you really start getting some light and revelation. And that's where you really can make an impact that would bring, you know, this is where we really can bring a change. Because the problems, you know, you fix one problem and you got another problem. And then, you know, but the pattern, if you can deal with the pattern that produced the problem, now we got something. Need to change the pattern. Now, changing patterns. How fun is that? No, because so many patterns that we have in our lives, we've had them for a long time. Yeah. But you think that you want to fix the problem, but it's actually the pattern. Now, here's what we're up against. I just thought I'd show you from the Bible what we're up against. And these are, you know, verses in the Bible. You know how we talk about how we're Good News Church? And the Bible is, there's parts of the Bible that are called the gospel, but not everything in the Bible is good news. But there are parts of the Bible that they're good news if you use it for your good, but it's also, the same scriptures can be bad news if you don't use them for your good. And here's Mark chapter 4. Do I have a man? Yes, I have a man. Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you could turn there. Otherwise, you can follow along on the screen. Mark chapter 4, and this is Jesus teaching in Mark 4. And he talks about something here it's really important for us to understand. Verse 26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Now, let me ask you a question. What was first, the kingdom or the earth? The kingdom. The kingdom of God was first, right? Wasn't God before all? And so before there was an earth, there was a kingdom of God, right? Okay. So the kingdom supersedes the earth. Now, it's talking here and describing the kingdom of God, but I want you to know that when God created the earth, he created it in the image of his kingdom, of who he is. That if you remember in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, at the very beginning, when God created, right there in Genesis, in the first chapters, there's mention of seed. Isn't there? God said to him, "Look, I've given you seed, given you plants, but here's seed." And so this concept of seed started at the beginning. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle. And I'm going to tell you something. For eternity, we're going to be dealing with this whole principle of seeds. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. That's how the kingdom operates. And because that's how the kingdom operates, when God made man and he made the earth, this is all part of it. And what happens? A man puts seed in the ground. He should sleep by night, rise by day. The seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So what he's saying here is everything. I mean, there's obviously lots of things he's saying here. But everything functions on this principle of seed going in the ground. There's some period of time and then there's a harvest. Seed goes in the ground, there's a period of time, then there's a harvest. Seed goes in the ground, there's a period of time, there's a harvest. Seed goes in the ground, there's some period of time, and there's a harvest. Have y'all noticed that that's how life works? And it's not just when it comes to farming. Every part of life is governed by seed, time, harvest. Every part. Every part. And then go over to Galatians. Just when you want to discard that whole idea of what I just said there, just when you want to ignore that and think, I just want to fix my problem. Don't talk to me about seed and scattering and yielding crops. I don't want to hear any of that. I just want to fix my problem. Go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. Aha. There's room for deception. And because Paul is telling them, don't be deceived, I would surmise that probably somebody there was deceived, or that Paul had seen people be deceived, and that this was maybe common to man, that there's a deception. Because he's saying, don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Boy, there's a principle. It goes on to say, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, while sowing good seeds. For in due season, there's that time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, what you and me call problems, and we could go around, we all got them. We could all discuss these things that are happening that we wish weren't happening, or where something was a little different. What we call our problems really are the fruit of the seeds we've sown. Problem is actually another name for harvest. Ooh, I don't like that. because there's seeds that have gotten in the ground and are growing something. And really the problems are, they're just an indicator of what we've been nurturing, what we've been watering, what we put in the ground, what we're nurturing, what we're watering. And the bigger the problem, probably the more seeds we've been sowing and the more care we've been given to nurture those seeds. Did you say thanks? Yeah, okay. Okay. You're welcome. This will help you. Don't be deceived. So it's really, you know, this is something, if you're going to have change, you know, again, you got to address this pattern, not the problem. You know, I remember a situation, circumstance several years ago. I had someone who was having some issues in their family, and they were particularly having an issue with their child. And they want to come in and talk to me, and I'm like, yes, amen. And they came in to talk to me, and they start explaining to me the situation about the child. And the more they explained the situation, the problem with the child, you know, it was really getting out of hand, this problem they're describing with the child. And so finally, you know, they kind of get to the end, and they look at me like, you know, well, what would you do? Or, you know, what should I do? Or what help me? And I just looked at the person and I said, the problem that you're having today started a long time ago. In fact, I think I remember I said, the problem you're having with this started when they were 4. And I think the kid's like 15. But it's just this progression of life that got us to this problem, which is just a harvest here on a pattern that's been going on for a long, long time. Now, Matt and I have this dynamic, I started to say a game we play. We have this thing we do where something will happen or we'll hear about something or whatever. And Matt will say to me, well, what would you do if that was your situation? You know, just something that's going on. You know, something, you know, somebody's dealing with. And he'll go, what would you do in that situation? Because we're going to talk about, you know, what we think we would do. And I just look at him, I'm like, I wouldn't be in that situation. And, you know, I mean, I can't even address what I would do in it because I wouldn't have had followed the pattern to get there. But now I've certainly got my own patterns that got me to my mess. But that particular one, I wouldn't have went there. I could have avoided that particular one. Now I got my own stuff. But anyway, that one I think I could have avoided. But you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I can't even relate. How would I be, you know? It's kind of like this, you know, if your friend, what would you do, Susie, if your friend, you know, if they stole your last dose of heroin that you really needed, what would you do? Well, I'd be like, I don't know. I wouldn't be in that situation. I'm pretty sure that I'm never going to have that problem of my friend stealing my heroin. I'm not ever going to have that problem. You understand? There might be a lot of problems I have, but that particular one I'm avoiding. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you're just getting these situations. You're just not going to get there. And there's, I'm sure, things for you that's never going to be a problem in your life because you don't foresee yourself ever establishing the pattern that's going to bring about that problem. But yet you still do, like me, have your own problems, right? Because of these other patterns you got going. Why? Because of the seeds you've been sowing. I've been sowing no seeds and have no desire to sow any seeds that are going to lead me to a heroin addiction. I mean, we can all tonight say thank God for that, right? There's good news. Good news. But, you know, the problems we have started a long time ago because we did things that have established patterns in our lives. Like, I think this will be okay. We don't have a mic up. Does that mic work? I don't know. Eddie, come up here a minute. I'll interview you about something, Eddie. Now, Eddie's my older brother. I'm 5 years older, I have to add.
But I don't look it.
Yeah. Okay, hold this. Now, I just want to ask Eddie some questions. Now, Eddie, you graduated from high school in 1978.
That's right.
Now, let me just ask you, just among a few friends here, when you graduated from high school in 1978, did you weigh less than you do now?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty. All right. Now, I just want you, in just a couple of, you know, few sentences here, I want you to explain to these wonderful people tonight how you gained the weight that you've gained.
Not exercising. Eating more than what I needed to eat, than what my body could process.
Okay. So, like, let me just ask this. So,
Is that the answer you're looking for?
No, well, I mean, I don't know what your problem is. Your pattern.
I eat too much.
You eat too much.
And
okay.
I don't exercise.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Carol's helping. Let me just ask you a question. You want to give me any ballpark of, you know, you just make up a number of maybe how much more. It doesn't have to even be
40.
Accurate. Say 40 pounds. Okay. So 40 pounds.
And that's a lie.
And that's a lie. Okay. All right. So, but just say it's 40. I mean, come on. Look. 40 pounds. All right. So let me just ask a question. Did you like go to bed one night and
no.
then you woke up and you're
no.
40 pounds heavier?
No. It was a gradual.
It was gradual?
It was gradual. As I went down my journey of life and the stresses of life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going to the refrigerator. But not the treadmill.
Okay. You went to the refrigerator, not the treadmill. Okay. Now, you and Carol have been married 22, coming up on 22 years?
Coming up on 23.
23 years now. Did you weigh less 23 years ago?
Yes.
So that would have been 1992.
92.
Okay. So you graduated in
78
and 92. That's a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
You were old when you got married. Okay. So did you weigh more in 92 than you did in
78?
You did? And then do you weigh more now than you did then?
Yes.
Okay. So that kind of gives us how it's spread out a little.
Or we could... I thought you were about to poke me.
Okay. Okay. Well, sit down now. I'll finish it how I want it finished. All right. I'm just picking on you. Now, I asked him because I thought we could talk about weight loss, but one thing that we're all familiar with is weight gain. Pretty much. Jose, do you weigh more now than you did when you graduated high school? So even Jose is familiar. We're pretty much all of us in one way or another familiar with weight gain. That's why I wanted to bring that up instead of just weight loss, because then, you know, maybe we don't all know and understand the intricacies of that. But we know how to gain weight. It's like Matt said to me the first night we weighed in for Team Lean. He went over. He got on the scale. He looked down. He came back. I was sitting on the chair. He sat down by me. He said, "Man, I did so awesome. It beefing up for Team Lean." I'm like, "Yeah, we did, buddy. We did good. Yeah, good job, man. Did a great job." But gaining weight is a process, isn't it? It's a process. Eddie's saying, you know, this fabled 40 pounds that he's gained over time. Now, you don't gain 40 pounds in just a few, you know, a few days. And you don't really put on 40 lasting pounds very easy. You would have to almost work at it to put on 40 pounds in a short period of time. But over time, if you establish certain patterns in your life, then you will. You can easily gain 40 pounds. Given enough time and the right seed, you can have this produced. But the 40 pounds is not the problem. And for Team Lean to actually, you know, I don't know about Team Lean, but to actually get rid of the 40 pounds and keep them gone, it's a pattern change. Because Carol said it was the ice cream. Eddie said it was not going. I'm just really picking on you tonight. Eddie said it's not going to on the treadmill, and it's going to the refrigerator too many times. Not paying attention probably to what you're putting in your mouth. For you, I know it's not eating all day. And then probably you eat. I mean, we could really get into your problems. If we could really diagnose you tonight, but then you might want to do me and I have to go home now. So we're not going to do that. Thank God I have him I can pick on. You should thank God. But it's a pattern. Do you see that? It's a pattern. Now, if he wants to change what's going on with his weight, he's got to choose a different pattern. You know, I mean, we're talking about weight gain, and that's probably not the biggest problem that we're facing here tonight. What about in your relationships? You think, well, my marriage is in a rough place. Well, that's a problem, right? Well, you know what caused that problem? Do you know what caused the problem? Yeah, the pattern, the seeds you've been sowing. And you just want to fix the problem, but it's the pattern that's the issue. And so changing the pattern is going to take a little more effort and attention, and there's going to have to be some, you know, it's going to take a little time, and there's going to have to be some seeds and some different seeds than the seeds you've been sowing. It's true. You have to get some new seeds and do some different things, you know. It's a pattern to be changed, not just fixing a problem. Because the you know, lack of intimacy or the friction between you or the just anger, all these that seem to be, you know, that's just all indications that there's some patterns that you've established that you got to eradicate from your life. And you're going to have to find some new patterns. That's change right there. That's the process of change, is finding, identifying the patterns that got me here. What are the seeds that I have just really been sowing and nurturing and watering? What are those seeds that have been going in the ground? What have I been growing and planting here? And quit with all that. Dig them up and then find some new stuff. What do I want to plant? And start putting that in. And it's going to take some time. That's why we can get discouraged and give up. Remember I read to you in Galatians 6 about don't be weary, don't grow weary in well-doing, because you'll reap if you don't faint. But it's so easy to faint because you don't see anything for a while. When you start dealing with the patterns, you might not see a lot of change. Some people came in last week and weighed in, and they just had lost a few, you know, a little bit. Some people gained this week. You may have lost or gained. It's not about last week and this week. It's about the rest of your life. And, you know, it's not, are we having a good week or a bad week in our marriage? Are we having a, you know, well, I feel good tonight. I don't know about you. I want to feel good all my life. I want to have a healthy relationship all my life, not just tonight. Now, that's going to take some pattern addressing. That's why buying flowers doesn't fix your, you know, bringing her flowers does not fix your marital problems. And so many things that people think. And I think men, when it comes to relationship issues, particularly, men want the quick fix. I'm sure women do too, but since I'm a woman, I'm going to say men. Men want the quick fix. They do. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. But we've certainly had moments in our marriage where I was upset. And you know what Matt would do? He would look at me and say, don't be upset. Well, do you know when Matt told me not to be upset? Whoa, sister. You got it. Don't tell me not to be upset when I'm upset. Like, what is that going to do? Now, I understand he's frustrated because I'm upset and he's got a problem. He's trying to fix his problem. But if we would deal with the pattern, maybe I wouldn't be upset. But it's just, don't be upset. How many of you men have tried that and it didn't work? I bet you have. I can see it. I bet you have. Melissa, don't be upset. Yeah, a lot of times Matt tried that and it didn't help. But he just wants it to be better right now. But there are patterns. When we started addressing patterns, then guess what? Susie wasn't nearly as upset. Is that true? Okay. So that's the issue we want to talk about. And here, I just want to throw this in to encourage you. When you're making changes, all right? If my change is, you remember, I guess when we started, we were going back there where the goal is to go over there to that door, and I'm keep going back there. So I'm going to change. Now, let me just ask you a question. So this is what progress is. And this is the kind of progress we want, right? Isn't this the kind of progress you want? Well, you actually want it faster. But let me ask you a question about this. Is that progress?
Yes.
That's not the progress you want. But honestly, that's a lot more what progress looks like.
Yep.
That's a lot more like what the progress will be in your life. Oftentimes, it's two steps forward and a step back. Maybe sometimes you can get in three steps before you go back. But sometimes maybe you go back two steps. But here's wisdom. Keep going this way. Don't just stop. Well, I'm frustrated. I've only come this far. Hey, you've come that far. Get excited. See, that will help you to not grow weary. Just keep going. I mentioned this, I think, the first night. Everything I've ever read, I've never smoked, but smoking is a terrible addiction I've seen people struggle with. But everything I've ever read that talked about nicotine addiction and coming off cigarettes particularly, the number one thing is to never stop quitting. Just keep quitting. Keep quitting. But I smoked today. Well, quit. Never quit trying to quit. Just keep that up. Do you understand? And that, I mean, that makes no sense. In some ways, you're like, well, I couldn't quit. Yeah, you can. Quit right now. And just keep quitting. And it's the same way with any pattern. Just that persistence to just keep staying with it. You know? But I missed today. I was supposed to go to the Y today, but it didn't go. Well, go on and go now. You know? Just go. Just keep going. Do what you can do. Just keep going. Do what you can do. And it's this, you know, but we just had a really big argument and I thought we were making progress. Well, you didn't have an argument for 3 days and then you had a really big one. So maybe you took a little step back. Maybe that argument isn't all you think it is. Maybe the argument actually is progress. Maybe somebody's actually saying what they really feel for a change. Now, Nate has this weird contraption on his knee because he tore his ACL back in December. And so he had this torn ACL and y'all remember he was hobbling around on his crutches and stuff. And Nate was coming into work and he was there and he went to see the doctor. And the doctor told him he needed surgery and set him up for surgery. Nate was kind of didn't know if he was going to have surgery. He decided to go ahead and have the surgery. And he goes in to have surgery. Y'all listen, you gotta see what happened to Nate. This was crazy. He had his ACL torn. He was on crutches. He was getting around, but he was still able to come to work. He was functioning. He was doing that. And he went in. The doctor was going to fix his ACL. And they did surgery on him. And when he came out from surgery, he didn't come to work. He said that he was too much pain. He was in too much pain to work. And I said, Nate, are you in more pain than you were yesterday before you had the surgery? And he said, yes, I'm in more pain than I was before they went in and fixed it. I'm in more pain. And I said, Nate, what kind of quack did you go to? Here you are trying to get better and you're hurting more. I don't get it. I mean, he was hurting, but they made him hurt worse. Just think about that. I say that because I've had that same discussion with people when they went to counseling. We had trouble in our marriage, and then I went to marriage counseling, and we had a much bigger fight than we've ever had. I'm more angry than I've ever been. So it's obviously not working. Really? Because Nate had far worse pain after they started fixing him than he did before. But somehow or another, we're okay with that. Just think about it for a minute. I need to close up here. I'm going to close up with this. I heard Henry Cloud say this, and I just loved that. He said, your life in five chapters, or a man's life. A man's life in five chapters. Did you hear this? It's really funny. A man's life in five chapters. Okay? He's walking down the road, and he falls in a hole. He's in the hole, and it's a deep, dark hole. He looks up, and he climbs out of the hole. Chapter 1. Chapter 2. Man, he's walking down the road, and he falls in the same hole. He's down in the hole. It's a deep, dark hole. He pulls himself out of the hole. Got out of the hole. That was chapter 2. Chapter 3. Man's walking down the road. There's that hole. That is one scary hole. He tumbles in the hole. How'd I get in this hole again? He climbs out of the hole. That was chapter 3. Chapter 4. Man's walking down the road. There's that hole! That hole, it's not gonna get me. It's not gonna get me. It's not gonna get me. I made it! I made it! It didn't get me. Chapter 4. Chapter 5. He went down a new road. You got to change the pattern. You got to find a new road. Because it'll get you. We've all been in the hole. We've all been in the same hole. We've all been in the same hole again. But if you're still in the same hole that you've always been in, you need a new road. You need a new pattern. What's the new pattern you need? I'm not sure. I could give you some ideas because I'm really great with that. Give you another option. But the one who does know, he's available tonight. The one who does know, the one who knows the hole, where it is, you know, why you got in it in the first place, why you seem so comfortable in that hole, how to get out, because sometimes we're just living in the hole. Some of us, our holes are well decorated. We've hung the pictures on the wall. What a nice little hole I have here. We're inviting other people into our hole with us. Come in my hole. Be miserable with me. This is the greatest hole. Some of us are still shouting up from within the hole, help! To whoever might wander by. But some of us have figured out how to avoid some holes. How many of you here, you figured out how to avoid some holes? Maybe the hole, some of you in here, you used to be in the hole of alcoholism. And you figured out how to get a new pattern, not go back in that hole. Thank God. And a lot of other things. I mean, pretty much, you know, you get this many Good News Church people together, and we pretty much got every sin covered. This is enough of us. We've pretty much done it all, been guilty of it all. I remember early on in our church, I don't think we're going to do the small groups, we're going to do something else tonight. Early on in our church, we had at one point, we had a tiny congregation. We had two murderers in our church. That's what I'm saying. It's Good News Church. What did you think? It's not the first church of the Holy Pious. It's Good News Church. It's not a Sunday morning if you don't have murderers among you. Come on. Anyway, sorry. anyway, there we are in the hole, you know, and we're, all of us have been in holes. We all have them. We all have been, well, and there's, you know, there's no shame of being in the hole. That's what I want to get to. There's no shame of being in the hole because that's common to man. We fell in a hole in the garden. And ever since the garden, planet Earth has been full of holes and we've been creeping about on the earth. No wonder that we all get in holes. We are in, we're living on a holy planet. And I mean, you know, with holes in it. and we all, the Bible talks about how we're blind. So you got blind people in a planet full of holes. No wonder we're all been in holes, right? Every one of us. So there's no, there's really no shame in being in a hole. Because that's that thing I talk about humility, what's common to man, that we're all from the dirt. We all have that in common, that we go, we fall in holes. But here's the thing. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And the enemy will condemn us when we're in the hole. You ever been in the hole and you're just in the hole and you're just in the hole contemplating how you've been in this hole before and you feel such shame and you feel such guilt and you feel so bad about being in the hole, and then you don't need anybody to yell down and say, ha ha ha, you're in the hole, because you're in the hole. You feel so bad. You feel such, just, am I the only one? You just feel so bad. And the last thing you want to do is letting it, because sometimes we can be in the hole and nobody knows we're in the hole. And in our minds, we tell ourselves nobody knows we're in the hole. And if you don't tell them you're in the hole, they won't know. And so we're in our little hole, and people that could help us out of the hole, we won't tell them. We don't tell anybody. And last week we learned we got to have help sometimes getting out of the hole. Most of the time we got to have some help. But I can't tell you I'm in the hole. I'm just in the, y'all, how sad is the state of the church today? I'm talking about the church at large, where people, they think coming to church, we do not tell anybody that we are in a hole, that we have a problem, that there's a pattern, that there's, we can't let anybody know. That's where we most have to put on our mask and act like everything's fine. And it's the very place where we can get real help. But we're too embarrassed. We're too ashamed. And probably with good reason, because so many times we've been met with condemnation. But that condemnation didn't come from God. That condemnation came from people. I tell you one thing though, there's a group of people called Good News Church that are determining, even though we fall in the hole of condemnation sometimes, we're determining to live with open arms and not be condemning, to help people up out of the holes. To, if we fall ourselves, pull ourselves up, you know, with the help of others and God's help, and not condemn other people. Because we all know we need mercy too. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture. Then we're going to do something else. If I can get my Bible to go there. John 12:47. This is something Jesus said. He said, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. This is the part I want you to hear. For I did not come to judge. And that word judge means to condemn. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And this is really what John 3:17 says. That he didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And when we, because we're so conditioned, when we hear the word saved, that means being born again, getting to go to heaven when you die. But I'm going to tell you, let's think of the word saved just in the terms of we're being in a hole. We're in a pattern. We're stuck somewhere. We've been sowing these seeds and we're stuck in it. We're stuck in the harvest of it. And we need saving. But yet, we are thinking we're going to be condemned, but we need saving, and Jesus is still our Savior. He's still the Savior. He's still saving today. He's saving you. He didn't just save you and now you're on your own. He's still saving you today. It's not like he saved you, you know, 25, 6 years ago. He's still saving today. There's still saving power today and you need it. You need it. We all need it, because you're not going to get out of the patterns that you've got established in that are bringing you this harvest. You're not going to be able to save yourself from that. You need Him. You need His help. How many of you know that? We need Him. We need His help. If we could have changed it, we would have changed it. And see, so much that the world offers is, you know, self-help. Just try harder. Do it more. Here's another method. Here is not what you need. You don't need a method. You need a Savior. You need to be saved. And the first thing that happens in salvation is that we recognize that we need a Savior. And so tonight, I think all of us, we need a Savior. We need saving. And so if we just can acknowledge Him, we need your saving power in our lives. And then look to Him to help us. But that's kind of a humbling thing. Because we think we can fix it. We all do in our own little ways. We think we can just handle it. Don't we? Am I the only one? Can't you just fix all your problems, Vince? You need a Savior. But He's still saving. That's grace. He's still helping. He's still strengthening. He's still enabling. He's still pulling us out of the holes. And He has some kind of really super strong, trying to think of the word. It kills plants. Roundup. He has some kind of super strong Roundup that He can spray on all those seeds that we planted and kill them off. Now, you don't need to keep planting those same seeds, but He'll help you. But thank God for His great overwhelming mercy of that great Roundup that can kill off all them seeds. All those weeds, that kudzu, that creeping ivy that's creeped up over the house, He can just take it out. Thank God. And He can give you, the Bible says He gives seed to the sower. It's a whole new meaning of that verse. He gives seed. He will give you good seed for you to sow. But it's up to you to look to Him. Let's just pray for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think Matt told you on Sunday something's happening. I'm not going to whoop it up like he did. But something is happening. Something's happening in people's lives. Something's happening in our hearts. God's been dealing with us about change. And whether you have recognized this or not, He's not dealing with us about self-change. He's not dealing with you just do better, do better, do better. That's not the message. The message is, let me change you. Let me work in you. Let me help you. That's the message that He's been giving us. Let me change your heart. Let me renovate your heart. Let me help you with these patterns. Let me get you out of the hole. Let me give you a new road. That's the message He's been giving us these last weeks. And our part is really, it just starts with that. We've talked about this several times, opening our heart to Him. But I can't stress enough how important that part is. It's just the part you play. It's the part He doesn't do. He doesn't open you up. And He doesn't cross your will. The willingness is your part. And if you really want some change in your life, That's where you start. You say, I need a Savior. I want to be saved. And if you open that up, there's so much good that'll come in. He's got truth. The truth will set you free. But if you're not open to the truth, little good it'll do you. So I just pray right now, and I just encourage you right there where you are to talk to the Lord, to say whatever it is you need to say. Maybe you think you've said it all. You can just pray in the Spirit. But Father, I just pray for us once again tonight. I pray for saving power, delivering power. Father, I pray for a disruption in the patterns. And I pray for new roads. New roads in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, for your help. We ask you, Father, for your help. We open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He is the truth-giving Spirit. We have what we need. The problem is we haven't been aware and we haven't been open. And we deny it. We just open ourselves as wide as we're capable of. We open ourselves to you. And we ask for your help. Help us with our thinking. Just like we prayed last week, bring people to us. Bring people in our lives. Help us to see the people that are in our lives for what they are. Agents of change that you've brought to us. Support, encouragement, truth bearers. Accountable people that will hold us accountable. People that will lend us their discipline. Help us to see that. And anything that we're missing, anyone that we're missing, we ask you to bring them to us and help us to know them for who they are and appreciate them and heed them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Good News Church. I thank you for what you're doing in the people here. Father, I know, we know something is happening. And the happening isn't what's out there. The happening is what's in here. I pray, Father, that we'd all have courage to change, boldness to change, hallelujah, to be like Jesus. Thank you for it. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. O brezi bifi tios mundo sola baba bakase. Inde levlomo kosholo brevi tiosma. I just invite you to pray with me here for a minute. O brevi se le mondo kosholo brevi tios mandere vipa kase. Nengen de levlodo koso brevi tios mundo roshe brevi tiosma. Londo da bevi mama ne kiribo soto shala papaka sa. I brevi dios mandare mana makata. Londo sa par mana 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 mat poco soto la blave mendios ma. Umbrevi fi se brevi dio soto she la blave li mando so mana mani kiribo fo. Lo bavas mendios mana ni a she brevi dio so brevi dio. Yo mandele bovelo do go suburbe dios mama na batiki se leven dios mondoro suburbe diosche lo babababacase nendos mandare pocoso umbre vitios mandare bovelo do go smandam bandene mande pocoso to lo basala bleble breve otos mandale leonos mandabacase lombas nende osche brevitioso. Oh, manani pate revivimo soto la mamma ni kitiosma. I gelev le mondo che prividios upondos mamma mamaka. Oh, hallelujah, mas mamma. Great light is rising over new pathways. Great light's rising over new pathways. New pathways new pathways you haven't seen before, new pathways that you didn't know, that you didn't perceive, but they're there and they've been there, but the light's coming on. You're seeing the pathway ahead. You're seeing there is a new way. There is another way. There is another route here. There is a better way. There is a higher way. There's more for me. There's a place where I don't have to suffer. There's a place where I don't have to fall in holes, but the light's coming on. The light's coming on within you. The light is come. Light is come in Jesus' name. Light is come. Light and light and light and more light is coming. Hallelujah. 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 Obrevise bodo sobrevi dias man. Imbadarevela bogo dos mandaribifi. Lo baselevle boko shela blafetias man. Oh, and strength, strength. Strength to walk away from things. And strength to walk away from people. And strength to walk away from patterns. And strength to walk away from the past. And embrace a new way. And embrace new thinking. Oh, and a new direction. Hallelujah. Obavele mande se viki dios mondoro jobervi bogo dos mande omaga. And you'll find yourself in freedom. You'll find yourself in the fruits of freedom. You'll find yourself and you'll look around and not even realize how did I even get here? But it was by the Spirit of God, the truth-giving Spirit, leading and guiding. When you weren't quite sure where you were going, but you said, okay, I choose to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you and it hurts. I'm going to trust in you where it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to keep on with you and follow you. And you've led me. Oh, you're leading us. You've led me into freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that'll be the testimony of many. That'll be the testimony of many. That'll be the testimony of many. You'll look back and you'll say, oh, thank God I'm not on that road anymore. Thank God I've come to a new place. I've come to a place of life and life more abundantly, a life to enjoy, a life, oh, a life overflowing, a life overflowing. And in that life overflowing, there'll be many. You'll call off the other road. Say, come here. It's a better road. Not as many holes. It's a much better road. Come this way. Come this way. There is freedom for you. There is wholeness for you. There is life for you. Hallelujah. There is life, abundant life for you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let's just bless the Lord. Thank the Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Positioning us. Hallelujah. Maneuvering us. Oh, Brzevitioso. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 And some of the extraordinary harvest that you've heard about is going to be harvest on seeds that you just start planting now. It's going to be an extraordinary harvest on seeds you're just going to start sowing now. Seeds that you just as you begin to see the light and start making changes and you start sowing seeds, there's going to be an extraordinary harvest over these fresh seeds that I'm going to give you, says the Lord. There's going to be an extraordinarily fast and an extraordinarily abundant harvest on these new seeds that I'm giving you. Because those old seeds that you've been sowing, oh, I'm taking them out. I'm taking them out. I'm taking them out. And these new seeds are going to bear much fruit. Woo! A mighty harvest. Oh, a mighty harvest. A mighty, an extraordinary harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you that you continue to direct us, lead us all in the way that we should go. Thank you that we don't have to gather in here, sit in these chairs to hear from you. No, you're in us. You talk to us day by day, moment by moment, breath by breath. You are our God and you talk to us. We're your people and we follow you. We are your sheep and we know your voice. The voice of a stranger, we ain't following. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for that tonight. Thank you for leading us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Good night.